Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a better place. I want to thank everyone so much for supporting the program and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle and Puget Sound area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 100,000 listeners in over 60 countries. Today's shows will be really special because during the first hour from 2 to 3 p.m., I'll be interviewing a wonderful astrologer and a psychic named Joseph Anthony. He's been on countless radio and television shows for the last 20 years, and I know that you'll find his interview really interesting. His websites are planetswithin.com and josephpanthony.com. During the second hour from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'll be interviewing two very special people, Jerry Bedlington, who does angel healing. He specializes, he's a psychic, and he also brings in angels from the higher realms and heaven to help people heal their situations and problems. And today we'll be bringing Jerry on, as well as Michiko Hayashi of the Modal Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, to do healing for Fukushima. We'll also be talking about Syria and doing prayers for Syria later on in the show. I want to thank everyone so much for their donations and support, especially my good friends Faison and Shirley in Florida, Anita in Dublin, Ireland, Marku, my good friend Marku in Helsinki, Finland, Emma Louise and John Eric in Norway, Randy and Jessica Mercer Island, Darren in Olympia, and Rod Shastri in Toronto, Canada, and everyone around the world who helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma and Ryan Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much better and happier place. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol's designing my website and providing wonderful support. My wonderful friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiromoto, Mrs. and Mrs. Emoto, the Emoto Peace Project Emoto office in Tokyo, and my friends at the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, as well as KKNW and all the wonderful people here. Out of This World Television is also now broadcasting three times a week on Comcast Channel 22 here in the Puget Sound area on Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m., Wednesdays 1:30 p.m., and Saturdays at 7 p.m. These programs are also available if you're outside Washington on either YouTube under either Ted or Theodore Marr and Out of This World. With that, I'd also like to ask everyone listening today to send lots of love and light to Michiko's mother, Masako, who suffered a stroke recently, and I know that your love and prayers will really help her. I'd also like to ask everyone to send lots of love and light to my good friend, Orion, who's been diagnosed with throat cancer, and to my friend, Marco's mother, Louisa, who had a stroke recently, and to my friend Wally in the Olympia area who hasn't been feeling well. My book on Messages from the Masters, Cosmic Messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, and Nostradamus and Other Great Spirits is done, and it should be sent to the publishers very soon. I'll let you know when it is published. I want to thank everyone so much for their support for my Galactic Wisdom Conference that was held in Olympia, Washington, here in March of this year. I'll be having another conference, the fourth annual conference, on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018, at the same location in Olympia, Washington, about an hour south of the Seattle airport. I'll be bringing in some of the world's best healers, psychics, and UFO people, and I hope you can all come. If you'd like more information, the website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And the good news is that the videos are finally done for the last conference, and we'll be sending out those links for those of you who have wanted to see the conference but couldn't go. And if you're interested in getting a copy of the videos, it's only $97 for all the videos for the 3 days. And again, you can get more information about those videos on our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Briefly, before we go to Joe, I want to mention some upcoming events. From June 22nd to the 27th, 2017, I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, which I believe is the root chakra of planet Earth. It's located about 323 miles from San Francisco. It has many powerful energy vortexes and contains entrances and portals to the hollow Earth. Last year, I took a group of people to Mount Shasta, where six people actually physically went into Telos and Shambhala, the ancient Lemurian cities beneath the mountain. Other people actually met people from Telos on the mountain. Several people told me that they were taken aboard benevolent UFOs from the hollow Earth. Others met Adama and Saint Germain, and still others interacted with the Sasquatch. Everyone had many wonderful mystical and spiritual experiences. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. I'm sure that this will be one Out of This World event that you won't want to miss. I also wanted to tell you that the end of May, from May 25th to the May 28th, in a beautiful little town called Villa Aurora, about 100 kilometers west of Helsinki, Finland, there's a wonderful water conference there. Finland is celebrating its 100th anniversary, and this conference is dedicated to its anniversary. Among the wonderful speakers there will be Michiko Hayashi, from the Moto Peace Project, talking about how we can create a better world through our thoughts, as well as Tigrilla Gardenia from the wonderful Dominur spiritual community in northern Italy. They have actually a plant symphony in Dominur in which the plants actually make music with electronic classical instruments, and she'll be telling how that's done. There will also be some wonderful music provided by some famous bands. And for more information, please see their website at www.villa-aurora.fi. As well, in addition to that, on August 18th, 19th, and 20th, and 21st, in the Dominican Republic, is the second annual Dominican Republic Conference of Peace and Light. Last year, when I attended the conference, it was one of the best conferences I attended, and this year will be really incredibly good. Their website, for more information, please go to www.paxluxmundi.com. And if you are in the area, please stop by. It's going to be a wonderful conference that you won't want to miss. I want to thank everyone so much for supporting this radio program, because Out of This World is a nonprofit program. It's entirely supported by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the webpage at www.outoftheisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I also have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. My accuracy rate is very high, and I can put people in touch with their loved ones who passed on, or contact their angelic guides and find out answers. If you're interested, please send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here on my cell at 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. With that, I'd like to go on to my wonderful guest, Joseph Anthony, who's coming in from beautiful Sedona, Arizona. Joe, how are you doing today?
Hi, Ted. I'm doing well. Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you always are very interesting, Joe, and I love your perspective and always a very positive attitude about life and the world, even when you have maybe the world's not, things aren't going very well, but you always have a good attitude, and I always love having you on. Joe, how did you ever get interested in astrology?
Well, to be honest with you, it wasn't one of the things that I was interested in growing up. I was more interested in psychology, you know, the sciences, what this world was really all about, the nuts and bolts of how it operates. And I stumbled upon astrology in a bookstore one night in my 20s. I just went by the New Age section, and there was this one book there that said the only astrology book you'll ever need. I said, that was an interesting title, so I picked it up. And I sat there for about 4 hours. I read the book, almost the entire book, and something inside of me said, I need to understand this. Because prior to that, it was all left-brain thinking and trying to figure things out mechanically. And, of course, this book made some sense, but until I started digging deep into it and started to realize that the universe basically works on cycles, and the way the source, or the what we call God, operates is basically through understanding cycles, images, visualization, symbols. I put two and two together and realized that astrology is just understanding the cycles and the subconscious of our being. So whoever created this system, going way back to the Babylonians, Sumerian cultures, they knew exactly how the cycles operated and how they affected man. So that's the short version, Ted.
Well, one thing I've always been fascinated with astrology, Joe, is that the planets do affect us, don't they, in very, very many ways. And each planet, like if, for example, if you're and each of the signs, too, do affect your personality.
Oh, absolutely. Well, what I discovered as I later got into understanding dimensions and quantum physics and so on is that everything vibrates. Everything has some sort of light or sound attached to it, anything that's alive, and even stuff that's not alive, but it's all energy. Mm-hmm. And so when you realize this, when these cycles, you know, every day is a cycle because we're constantly moving. The planets are constantly moving around the sun. As a matter of fact, the sun is moving as well. And so you begin to see and realize that everything is cyclical and that every cycle or every movement seems to have some sort of frequency attached to it. Mm-hmm. So the planets represent the frequencies on this planet and in this galaxy and in this part of the galaxy, because these are the closest bodies to us. Now, you can use other modalities such as numerology, which is wonderful, and I love that as much, mm-hmm. or tarot cards or whatever it is, because what you're trying to do is just pick up the frequency. And so, you know, depending on what system you use, it'll work the same way. But I just happen to gravitate towards astrology, and it seems to click for me as if I knew this stuff before, because when I first got started, I started devouring books on it, mm-hmm. and I realized that it was coming to me very naturally. So I didn't have to really work very hard at it. So I must have known this before, or I just have the aptitude for it.
I think you had a past life as an astrologer, actually, in Europe. That's what I'm getting. And so yeah. So for this, for you to do it again this time, it's kind of a creature of habit. I know mm-hmm. that for me, for example, I used to wear striped shirts when I was a banker in Indiana in 1856. And it stuck with me because that striped shirts is one of my favorite things to wear now. So you end up carrying those characteristics into your next life. But one of the most exciting and interesting things I want to ask you about today, Joe, is the shift of the planet and also the positive changes which are happening now. I know that when we talked off air last week and on my television show, and for everyone, I interviewed Joe on my television show last week, and that'll be put up on YouTube here very, very soon, that there's been a tremendous amount of positive energy coming into the planet. What's called the Schumann frequency, or the resonance of the planet, has gone from 7.8 hertz, which is where it was for like tens of thousands of years, almost doubled in September of last year to 14, then up to 36 in December, and up to 40 in January. Now, the last count 2-3 weeks ago was at 90 hertz. And I was going to ask you, what kind of effect do you think that has that had on people that you've run into through your work?
Well, I can just tell you this. In the last year or so, the clients have become more anxiety ridden, or mm-hmm. they're just feeling the energy a lot more, mm-hmm. and some of them are stressing out. It's definitely taking an effect on everyone. Mm-hmm. But what we have to understand is that what the ancient cultures were talking about, and I've studied the Mayan calendars and the Hopi and some of these other cultures and the modern astrology of today, and we have entered an area of the cosmos called the photon belt. And you could Google that term and take a look. But I actually have a video on my website, planetswithin.com. If you hit the press media page, there's my free video there on the right. It says World Events 2016, What is Really Happening? And I cover, you know, what's changing, how it's changing. Now, I did this this original presentation also in 2008, 2009, where I talked about we were going to have dramatic changes to society. And it was based on the astrology. But it was also, I was getting information about this cosmic alignment with the photon belt. And if you understand this alignment, it seems to have greater energy or frequency or more light or photon light or neurons mm-hmm. That have entered. We've entered this zone. Mm-hmm. And so the frequency is changing. It's being distorted by this increased energy. And what that's doing is it's affecting the Earth's magnetic fields. You mm-hmm. can see that in the weather patterns. Mm-hmm. It's not just the weather manipulation that's taking place. I'm sure that is playing into it as well. But this is overriding this. And so it's affecting our equilibrium. It's affecting our circadian rhythm. It's affecting the way we perceive the world.
Right.
And so it's changing people's perception of reality. That is the not so great news. The great news is when the energy is on a lower scale, in other words, when the cycle is not as powerful as it's been the last month or so, we have these moments of euphoria or happiness mm. for no apparent reason. Mm. Have you experienced that too, Ted?
Generally, I'm happy anyway, but there have been, it's interesting you say that. What's happened to me, Joe, is that with the tremendous amount of light energy coming into the planet, I get awfully tired, and it takes my body to time to catch up, and then it catches up, and I'm fine, and then the planet's hit again with another bunch of light energy, and I get tired again. So,
exactly. But in between that, I mean, there have been times, and I've done this experiment on myself where I've noticed it, because I'm very observant about the energy fields and, of course, the astrology, is that we have days where either the cosmic winds or have died down or the energy is not as high, and we have these moments of euphoria. And I I'm doing nothing differently. I exercise, eat as healthy as possible, and so on. And I've talked about this with other people, and they've had these same experiences. Extreme highs and extreme lows is what I'm saying. And so we're experiencing that as well. But this year, we're going to have more of an extreme high, and that's what the planets are indicating. So more creativity, more happier feelings, just wanting to have more fun, part of this energy that's coming in is also giving us the ability to see deeper and to see through the illusion. In other words, the political structures, the everything that controls society, we're beginning to see through it as if it's not real, which we know, and your listeners know, I'm sure, is really not real. We're beginning to wake up in a sense. Beginning to see reality for what it is.
I have to tell you something. I interviewed Susan Miller out of New York City. She's a wonderful astrologer there, back in April of 2014. There's something, sometimes people will say something to you and it really sticks. And the thing that stuck with me when I had her on my show a couple of years ago was that this is a time of truth, that between now through the rest of this century anyway, and beyond that, for many, many millennia after that, will be a time of truth for humanity, in that things that are true will become even truer, and those that are false will become evident as being false and fall by the wayside. And what you said about people really waking up as to what's really going on, I think that's part of it. Certainly in the extraterrestrial UFO field, I think disclosure is already here. But so many, there's been so much truth coming out about all kinds of things, about governments, about people, and I think that'll certainly continue.
Oh, absolutely. And I met Susan Miller years ago at a conference, and, she definitely knows what she's talking about, not just her, but so many other astrologers.
Oh, yeah.
And we basically based this on Pluto going into Capricorn, and this was at the end of 2007-2008, we knew that there were going to be dramatic changes coming to any system that controls. And so, plus Neptune going into Pisces, which is the spiritual aspect, which is dissolving. And so between these two, the dynamics, and Uranus, let me not leave out Uranus, the great unpredictable sign of Uranus, which is about humanity waking up. And so between these three planets, we knew that there was going to be a time of great change. But on a spiritual aspect, and it's all about spirit, as you know, Ted, when you remember who you really are at the deepest level, all this other stuff, will fall by the wayside. You'll just do the best you can, and you'll keep an eye on what's going on, but you won't let that rule your life anymore. And that's what's happening, is that people are being turned off by politics. They're being turned off by corrupt organizations like, companies like Monsanto and so on and so forth. So we're beginning to move away from that thinking, that system, that, and that's a good thing in the long run. Yes, the UFO, ET stuff, I believe it's already been disclosed, but you're never going to hear like the president go on TV and say, yes, we have interacted with beings, we've had the technology, because they keep him in the dark. Those of us in the know are leading the charge into this great awakening that's occurring.
I wanted to ask you, Joe, I think when we spoke during my television interview with you last week, you foresaw some interesting things happening in the economy here in the United States and elsewhere in the world later this year, between August and September, October.
Well, look, I don't know if you follow the Bitcoin, but it just hit a What's that?
I don't. But go ahead.
Okay. No. Are you familiar with what it is, mm-hmm. Ted? I'm sure you are.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I do.
Well, it just hit a new time high at $1,400.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And this just happened, about a week ago?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so what I've been saying and others have been saying is that there's going to be change to the economy or the currency. And right now it's being suppressed. The big corporations and the international bankers are suppressing the currencies. They're holding the price of gold and silver down to keep the dollar propped up and these other currencies propped up.
Right.
But it's not gonna last. They won't be able to do that. And so at the end of this year, when we have Jupiter entering Scorpio, which is another way of digging deeper into discovery of many different things, especially the economy, because Scorpio, like Taurus, is associated with currency and value and so on. And so people are going to begin to look deeper into what is money?
Mm-hmm.
What is this paper we circulate? You know, what are credit cards and so on and so forth?
Sure.
And so what I see is a change from August all the way till the end of the year of either a new currency, a revaluation of currency. It could be more cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin going through the roof and continuing to go up because I see countries around the world basically trying to hide their currency, so they're buying Bitcoin because governments can't trace it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're going to have competing currencies around the world as the system continues to change. So there's no
right.
stopping this anymore. I mean, they could try as hard as they can,
yeah.
but technology is going to, win out in the long run.
A week from today, actually, I'll be having on Simon Parks and Win Keech. And they're saying the same thing. And Simon, I spoke to him a couple days ago by phone from England. And he said that the time frame from August through October is going to be very interesting. He's looking for a dramatic correction of the U.S. stock market, as well as a possible 25% decline in the value of the U.S. dollar, which would be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it's being suppressed right now.
Correct.
When you've got the large international bankers and the IMF and the World Bank and so on doing whatever they can
mm-hmm.
to keep the price of gold suppressed and keep their Ponzi scheme going,
right?
Eventually, it's going to collapse.
Sure.
And so, yes, I see that same time frame mm-hmm. being something dramatic, or maybe we go back to a gold standard and then the local governments print their own currency, as we're supposed to be doing,
right,
especially
right.
in the United States here.
Right.
So it could be something to that effect, yeah.
What Simon said, he told me, is very interesting, and I'll have him on a week from today for those listening. He's a great guy. He said that the international bankers, they can't stop the process, but they have been able to stretch it out, kind of like a
mm-hmm.
kind of like a slinky thing where
mm-hmm.
where you stretch it out. You know, it's still gonna snap back, but it's the time delay. They've been manipulating the markets and making it slow down as much as possible. But it's inevitable, he said, that these are cycles that are playing out and will play out. And he said that the likely time frame for that would be late summer, early fall. So,
yeah, I would totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. And basically what they're trying to do is position themselves where they don't lose their wealth. Mm-hmm. And a perfect example of that is here in the United States, the Rockefeller family,
mm-hmm.
who basically got into oil and made all their money in oil, basically dumped oil and has now gone into other things.
Mm. Interesting.
So they see the trend coming mm-hmm. where not just the economy and the currency that's going to dramatically change,
mm-hmm.
but the technology.
Mm-hmm.
The technology is being held back as well, is being suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so between that and the currency, once those two are out of the bag, these two cats are out of the bag, so to speak, there's no stopping humanity anymore. But the issue really is, Ted, and I think we mentioned this before,
mm-hmm.
is that you and I and your listeners and everyone that's awake needs to continue to awaken humanity to who they really are, because
sure.
you cannot have free energy devices. And what I mean free is just, out of thin air,
mm-hmm.
Not being regulated or controlled by some sort of corporation or institution.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have all these devices and this currency that is, more favorable to humanity without the spiritual component. because what you're going to have is the same mindset, greed, selfishness. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. I got to have this much. I got to do this. And,
sure.
You know, it's really about the technology is about waking up humanity's potential, mm-hmm. you know, seeing through dimensions, helping your fellow man, making life better, not just for yourself, but for others around you.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have this, you know, two-sided approach. You can't just have, it can't all be science and, you know, great having all these things and then the spiritual aspect disappears. Because
right.
if you understand the ET mindset is that they've gone down the scientific realm and they've lost their spirituality.
Right.
You know, not that they're not spiritual, but they've lost the love and compassion and so on. It basically, you know, has gone out of them.
Absolutely. I see a shift happening going from service to self to service to others. And there's actually a dichotomy in the galactic universe, too, outside of planet Earth, too, where there's two large camps. There's one camp called the Galactic Alliance, which is based on service to others and love and compassion and harmony. And then there's also a smaller but negative group that's based on service to self, based upon conflict and war and negativity.
Uh-huh.
And I see us moving away from war and negativity and into an era now that's building a very peaceful, harmonious planet. That's the kind of future I see for humanity here on planet Earth.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it, and the astrology is indicating 2023, 2024 in that area where there seems to be more interaction with ETs. People are seeing more, having more greater contact. And at that point, you know, local governments can't do anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... you know, the awakening accelerates at that point. And
well,
so there's no stopping it.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's our destiny to become a beautiful, beautiful planet. And one of the things I'd like to discuss briefly with you, I'll be having actually my next hour is about Fukushima and sending healing prayers to Fukushima, but none of the world's government have done anything to help with the radiation of Fukushima. And much of the mass media just ignores it, but it's still there. And I've been directed by my Galactic Alliance friends to do prayers and ask people worldwide to pray to send lots of love and light to Fukushima and to help them. That'll help, that good energy will help them clean up the radiation over there. So because we're all powerful spiritual beings, and I know that that if we put our efforts together, we can make a much better and happier planet.
Oh, I would totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've done that for several countries. But yes, Fukushima is the most severe right now, mm-hmm. without a doubt, what it's doing to the sea life there in the Pacific.
Right.
And so we do need to send the loving energy and light, but actually see it being
mm-hmm.
cleaned up
mm-hmm.
and actually see the Fukushima waters clean and actually visualize it. So, you know, and yes, around that whole area with the light. And at that point, galactic beings or higher consciousness will intervene, you know, on some level and help. Because obviously they have the technology to help out and fix it. But this is this is a learning lesson, unfortunately. We need to move away from nuclear power. You know, it's dangerous, it's not healthy. And
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Joseph, I have to ask you this question, and people often ask me as well. How does a person's birth date determine their personality? I know you do a lot of good charts for people. How does that work?
Well, the moment you're born, it's like you're coming in on a timeline. You know, let's say, for instance, one is born May 1st. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We know that this is Western astrology. This is the sign of Taurus. Taurus is all about stability. It's about foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And being born on the 1st, just look at the number, the numerology. This is one. This is a go-getter.
Mm-hmm.
This is new beginnings,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to being born on, let's say, the 2nd or the 4th or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's the symbolic language for understanding that frequency. Now, it's not just going to be obvious, you know, where it's just right there in your face.
Right.
You have to understand the basics of that, of the symbols. And so, and it's not that complicated. Believe me, it's
mm-hmm.
not that complicated, you know. If anyone has a true desire to understand it, they will get it right away. And so you it's the vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So between the Taurus energy and the one frequency, you've got someone that could be very stubborn, very set in their ways, but also very driven to accomplish, to create, you know, abundance in terms of material possession. And I'll give you an example. What's his name? McGraw, the singer. Tim McGraw?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He was born on May the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how successful he's become.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You see?
Absolutely. Well, I'll just pick a date at random, of course. I don't know who this is, but let's say that somebody was born on November 2nd. What kind of individual might that person be?
Well, let's look at the numbers there. We have an 11. 11 is a higher frequency, mm-hmm. okay, in numerology. Mm-hmm. We have someone that has a very strong intuition or a very good connection to the other side or other realms of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the second is a duality. As above, so below, black, white, up, down, boy, girl. You see, it's a duality.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is there's a stronger connection to hidden realms, knowledge, wisdom. Especially being born a Scorpio, this is a natural investigator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this birthday is someone who is curious about everything, someone that wants to know about everything. This is all about finding balance within the physical world. You see, and that's what that number would represent. Depending on the year also, we'd add that into the equation. But generally speaking, number two, people born on the second have very strong intuition. They're good at reading people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just comes natural to them, especially with the Scorpio energy. And so, you know, that's the basis of that birthday.
That's mine, actually. So it wasn't chosen at random. So anyway, I'm just curious. Now, let's do this. Let's have some fun to show my listeners how astrology works. If you were to alter the birth date, let's say you kept the same 11, but you put the birth date as a 13, how would that change the chart?
Oh, the vibration would certainly change.
Mm-hmm.
The 13 is associated with trying to find stability. If you take the 1 and the 3 and you add them together, it equals a 4. Think of 4 legs of a chair. Think of 4 legs of a table, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But 13 is a very static number in the numerology. Sometimes the 4 is associated with Uranus in astrology,
mm-hmm.
which has a lot to do with sudden changes,
mm-hmm.
sudden movement,
mm-hmm.
you know, sudden dramatic things that happen to people born on the 13th, and that's every month.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain signs that this, you know, being born on the 13th is more dramatic in the sense that, you know, suddenly someone dies in their life that they care about,
mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that, or a sudden windfall financially,
mm-hmm.
good and bad, mm-hmm. you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's heavy drama associated with the 13.
Hmm.
And usually those folks later on in life learn some very valuable lessons and they become better for it. But there's always this looking for stability, trying to find safety, trying to find security. But it's a deep psychological number, which has a lot to do with, you know, an overabundance of information coming in simultaneously.
Interesting, Joe. I wanted to ask you, too, what about, now, if you alter the number slightly again, let's say 11-8, how would that change?
You know, again, the 8 is infinity, represents infinity.
Okay.
8 in numerology is someone who's good with business, very mm-hmm. business mind, can be very powerful,
mm-hmm.
Very driven.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if it's a Scorpio born on the 8th,
mm-hmm.
they are much more business-minded and go after what they want. They could also be very much health conscious,
mm-hmm.
You know, being really strong and desire to exercise quite a bit and, you know, be seen in a certain way. You know, if they're too negative, the ego could come out.
Mm-hmm.
But they're pretty much very strong-willed individuals that get what they want.
Hmm. I think it's fascinating that people, you know, you have the same month, the 11th month, okay, the Scorpios, but if you alter the date even just a little bit, you have a complete change in personalities.
Yes, you do.
Fascinating.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
And that's, of course, that's just the foundation of it. you know. Mm-hmm. If I was to dig deeper in the year, let's say, and of course, because that makes a difference as well. And then, of course, when I draw up an astrology chart and I actually see where all the planets were on that day, then it becomes deeper and deeper. So again, it's about reading the dimensions, you know, because all the dimensions are within us. We're multidimensional beings having these experiences.
Sure, absolutely.
And so that moment you come in on that day, you detach from your mother and you take your first breath, that is a moment in time. Mm. Everything is about time. Mm.
Fascinating.
You know?
Fascinating. So, if you don't mind, would you mind taking some questions, if that's okay?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay,
not at all.
Great. If anyone's like to ask Joe a question about their birth date from an astrological perspective, our studio line here in Bellevue, Washington is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington at 1-888-298-5569. I just want to throw that out in case anybody has any questions. I was going to ask you, what about President Trump? Have you looked at his astrological chart or what?
Well, I do have his chart. And to be honest with you, I have not had the time to dig deep into his chart.
Sure.
I mean, I've done other shows where I have taken a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know he's a Gemini and he has a Leo rising and I think a Sagittarius moon, if I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually looking it up right now,
mm-hmm.
see if I could pull it up real quick, because I do have it.
Okay.
But I haven't really been focusing a lot of attention on him, because knowing what I know and what you know about what's going on behind the scenes, and we know he is just the front, you know, the front man,
mm-hmm.
I'm more interested in what's going on behind the scenes, you
sure.
know?
Sure, absolutely.
And who's telling him what to say and how to do it and so on and so forth. So I've actually moved away from politics for a little bit because I've been so busy, honestly. But I've got Trump's chart in front of me here.
Okay.
And, you know, he has been someone who has been very, very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Sagittarian
mm-hmm.
moon people are very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. His Gemini sun, again, knows a lot of people. And, of course, we see his ego come out from time to time. He's got two planets in Leo.
Sure.
And he's got a Leo rising. And if mm-hmm. you know anything about Leo, they like to be seen in a certain way, or present themselves in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And the fascination with the hair, that's all Leo as well.
Interesting.
You know, but he has this other side to him mm-hmm. where he is a softie, okay?
Sure.
He's not, you know, I'm not saying he's a great guy. I'm not saying I like him or anything like that.
You know,
he just is who he is. But he's got both sides of the coin here.
Wow.
He could be egotistical and full of himself, and then he could be a real nice guy and surprise people, you know, because he's got three
wow.
planets in Cancer.
Sure.
And he's got some planets. He's got one planet in Jupiter in Libra.
Uh-huh.
He's always trying to be fair and balanced and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But his mind is constantly racing with the Gemini sun and the moon in Sagittarius. So he's constantly analyzing, constantly. I mean, look at, you know, you don't become a billionaire without
right.
you know,
right.
putting the effort in.
Right, right. For those that I know, there's several people trying to call in. Just hold tight. We'll get to you. And if we don't pick up, just call back. Have you looked at the chart for Mr. Putin of Russia?
No, I have not,
okay.
to be honest with you. I have
okay.
not taken a look at his chart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I know he is a Libra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's just the extent of it right now. I have not gotten into the political the side of it. I made the prediction that Trump was going to win. I put out a video on that. You know, when you get into politics, as you know, you're going to get the criticism and the ridicule and all the other stuff.
Right.
And I try and stay away from that stuff because
right.
it's not as important to me. You know, in terms of predicting presidential candidates and so on and so forth. I rather try and grasp what's happening as a whole, like the
right.
economy,
right.
world events, you know, stuff along those lines, because they will come to me as I'm looking at certain charts or doing some sort of meditation, which
mm-hmm.
is, I think, a little bit more important, you
sure.
know?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. This positive energy, I think this is going to continue, don't you? And it's going to really affect people in the future.
Absolutely, and actually it's this month that it's going to start. I would say around the 9th, 10th, and 11th of this month
mm-hmm.
is where we have some positive activity taking hold. And I wrote about it in my newsletter. Mm-hmm. And people could see that newsletter on my website, planetswithin.com, in the middle of the page.
Mm-hmm.
And you just click on it and open it, and, you know. And I talked about how there's this positive energy coming in this month. And it has, you know, several reasons for that. The North Node entering Leo, which is a very positive, happy-go-lucky sign. And we also have some alignments that are taking place, like the Sun and Pluto are making a favorable alignment. And then we have this mystical alignment between Jupiter and Neptune for about the 11th all the way to the 25th of the month. So we've got some good stuff there, Ted.
Beautiful, beautiful. I just want to tell everyone that the phone lines are, if you try to call in, please try again. I'm sorry, just try again, and we'd love to have you get on air. We have someone named, I want to wait till we can get her on, Nikia, I think, in Kenmar. Oh, hold on, we'll get you on in just a minute. You know, it's fascinating the way astrology works and everything. And I want to bring on just a quick caller here. Thanks, Eric. Named Nikia out of Kenmore. Nikia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. So thank you so much for calling in today. You're on the air with Joe Anthony, a wonderful astrologer.
Yes, thank you. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Go ahead and ask a question.
Well, I was born in February 21st, 44, and I just was wondering what you can tell me about that.
Sure. Your birthday is one where you're very fortunate. In other words, very lucky, but you're learning a lot of valuable lessons in your life, or you've had to learn a lot of valuable lessons in your life. There is a love of learning here. Are you a teacher of some kind, or do you always feel like that you have lessons that you've learned?
Let's just say that I feel scattered and everything interests me, pretty much. Not everything, but just about.
Right. So being a Pisces and being born on the 21st, there is this natural curiosity built into this birthday, okay? And the Pisces side of you, yes, Pisces can be very scattered. In other words, they have great imaginations, they're very intuitive, and they could see beyond the physical world. And this is what makes Pisces, you know, sometimes very difficult to stay grounded, okay? And so, but you've got a lot of twos here and fours, so you probably know a lot of people. You're very social, or you have a lot of people in your network. Does that make sense?
Well, I did at one time, but I have withdrawn since numerous traumatic things have happened, and I've just withdrawn to regather and figure out what to do next.
Sure,
and I also have a question about, has there been a shift I read somewhere that there was a shift in our signs. Is that not true?
No. What that's all about is we know that in Western astrology, we know that there's a 13th sign, the Ophiuchus sign, which is sandwiched in between Scorpio and Sagittarius. We know about that. But if we were to use that, it would throw our entire Western astrology system off, and Scorpio would only have 6 days. You see?
Interesting.
And so we've turned the astrologers of the day divided it into 12 equal parts. Okay? And so it still works the same way. It's just understanding the cycles. But no, the signs have not changed. Now, if you look at Vedic astrology, the Indian astrology, they actually use the constellations. So they adapt according to the changes of the planets and how the Earth has been moving, because the universe is constantly moving and expanding. So we may not be the same sign in their astrology.
Well, Nikia, okay. I want to thank you so much for calling in.
Can I ask one more question?
Quick.
I just wanted to know what's my best source for making a good living?
Well, you're very fortunate, so choose something that you enjoy doing and stick to it, and you'll become successful at it.
All right, thank you.
Follow your heart, my friend. Follow your heart, and you'll do well.
Okay, good.
Yeah, follow your heart. That's always true. I'd like to go to Cassie in Snohomish now. Cassie, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
A little breaky, but it's fine. Yeah, I can hear you fine. Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead and ask your question for Joe.
I guess I just was hoping for a general reading, sort of what you'd see for me.
Cassie, what's your birthday?
It's January 10th. Do you want the year?
No, I don't need it. That's okay. Well, Cassie, you know, being a Capricorn, and you're also, like the last caller, someone who loves to learn. You also have a very good sense of humor. And Capricorn, of all the signs, is having a tough time right now because Saturn and Pluto are both retrograde. So anything to do with career, home, foundation, trying to find stability seems to be a bit rough right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so don't struggle against the universe, is my first suggestion, okay? Realize that it's a cycle. It's a little bit of a tough cycle. But you're going to have to make choices, something about a move or either a change in occupation. It's been very unstable for many Capricorns with their careers in the last, I would say, 2 years or so, okay? And so, but again, like the last caller, you're born on the 10th, and that's another birthday that is very fortunate. In other words, things come to you. You're also a manifester, so being an earth sign, you manifest things. So, but your name suggests what I'm hearing is sometimes you get scattered as well. And so you need to focus a little bit more on what it is you actually want. Make sense?
Yes.
Great.
Okay, so
great.
Focus on what you want and, you know, go in that direction. Capricorns are great at achieving. Hmm. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
So
okay.
Don't get discouraged and just go after what you want.
Yeah, follow your heart again, Cassie. You'll always be right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks so
thank
much
you.
For calling in. Joe, I wanted to ask you a quick question. There's different systems of astrology, isn't there? There's the Western astrology, then you have the Vedic system in India, then I've heard there's a Chinese system as well. Are they all equally as accurate, or are there just different ways of looking at the same star systems?
There are different ways of looking at it. Like, for instance, the Chinese astrology is on a yearly basis.
Hmm.
You know, the year of the dog, the year of the rabbit, so on and so forth. And they look at it from that perspective, and then they look month to month.
Mm-hmm.
But it's their system. Vedic astrology is probably one of the most accurate astrology out there because they've done it the longest and consistently, and they've kept records. Western astrology is also very accurate, you know, but sometimes the timing is off a little bit, but it's still very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many, you know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, there's so many different, there's Native American astrology and so on. But again, it's just understanding the cycles. No matter which system you use, you're trying to understand the cycles. And
sure.
They all can be very accurate because, let's face it, we keep going round and round this orange ball.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right,
so.
Right. Exactly. Well, we've got we have another caller. People are calling in, and I'm so happy that people are calling in with their questions. It's just fascinating the information that you have, Joe, and also the accuracy too. It's very interesting to listen to. It looks like we lost him there, but we have time for perhaps one more caller or two. Our phone number here in the studio is 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington at 1-888-298-5569. Now, those are the major systems. Are there other major systems as well? Were there, for example, astrology used by the Mayan Indians, for example, or the Great Incas in South America?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
The Mayans gave us that 2012 prediction, that December 21st, 2012 was going to be another dramatic change. It was the end of their long count calendar.
Uh-huh.
And they were probably the most accurate of their day.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you understand, and I've talked to Carl Kellerman about that, and he's an expert in this, about the Mayans, he understands this. And as a matter of fact, if you check out his website, he's talking about this galactic wave that's coming in now.
Uh-huh.
And so the ninth wave, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, every culture has had astrology. Because it's the only way. I mean, they didn't have watches.
<You know? laughs> Okay,
They needed to focus on the stars and the planets and how they were moving. And so almost every culture had them. It's when we, you know, stray away from that is when we get lost.
Sure.
So if more people would understand just the foundation and the fundamentals of the astrology and the numerology, their lives would become a whole lot easier. Trust me.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, you gave me little tidbits earlier about my birthday, which is 11/2. What do you see for me this year?
Well, for you and all Scorpios, in October when Jupiter goes into Scorpio, you guys are going to have the wind at your back or in your sail. This is a very favorable time for expansion, for getting projects off the ground, for deepening relationships, for having more fun, more creativity, you see?
Great.
And so I would say focus on the fall because this is going to be your time to shine. For a whole year, year and a couple of months, Jupiter in Scorpio will help elevate one's profile, even the bank account.
That's nice. Thank you. That's wonderful. What a nice thing. Thank you. Joe, you're so much fun. And we've got a whole bunch of people calling. We have, we have Shelley in Seattle. Shelley, would you like to ask Joe a question? A quick one?
I absolutely would.
Okay.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Jit.
Hi.
You want my birthday?
Sure.
9/14/57.
Okay. It's interesting. All three callers have this very fortunate, happy-go-lucky birthdays.
Oh.
The 21st, the 10th, and now the 14th. Shelley, you know, you being born a Virgo and being born on the 14th, once again, knowledge, information comes very, very easy for you. You're someone that loves to travel. If you're not physically traveling, you're mentally traveling. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. And being born a Virgo on the 14th, you have this push and pull between pessimism and optimism. You know, this is a birthday where trying to find balance is very important. Make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Wonderful.
And so my suggestion, since the eclipses happened last year in Virgo, is your whole personality or identity or the way you see yourself is dramatically changing. And so go with the change. Go with the flow. Relationships for you are going to be one of your greatest lessons in this lifetime. Make sense?
I feel like I'm in the middle of a transition, like in the middle of a tornado, and I don't know where I'm going to land, especially with career.
Okay.
Right. Well, that's very common right now because we're all transitioning from one mindset to another. And the economy is changing. The financial system is changing.
Joe,
the best advice I could give you is adapt.
Yeah.
Follow your heart. As Ted said, follow your heart, but don't struggle. You know what I'm saying? And adapt. Adapt. That's going to be the key.
I am so sorry, friends. We have a bunch of people still waiting to get on, and we're just almost out of time. Maybe have one more quick call for a minute for Deborah in Renton. Deborah, hi. Do you have a quick question for Joe?
Yeah. I wanted to get some information. My birthday is April 12th.
Okay. Deborah, your birthday is one where you have great visions and dreams. Are your dreams very vivid, Deborah?
Sometimes. And mainly right now is a lot of tension starting a new career working in the heat. And,
I didn't hear that last part.
Working in the healing field and trying to make that work, and it's frustrating. So I wondered how the birthday affected that.
Well, your birthday involves self-worth issues. So in other words, all Aries want to be seen and they want to be successful, but sometimes they get down on themselves, especially with this birthday.
Yeah.
You're very compassionate and you're very giving and caring, but sometimes you can be hard on yourself. You have to start just realize you are loving energy. Let's put it that way. And the more you put that loving energy out, the more you will attract people to you. Make any sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. We've only got we don't have much time left. But, Deborah, thank you so much for calling in. And I know we have a lot of other people trying to ring in now, and I'm so sorry we won't be able to bring any more people on. But, Joe, you're an interesting guy, and I'm so happy you could come on my show today.
Well, thank you, Ted. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
What was your websites again so people can visit you for more information?
Planetswithin.com is my main site, even though I also have josephpanthony.com, but you'll have the newsletter on both.
Okay, wonderful. Next hour, we'll be going to Tokyo, Japan to bring on Michiko Hayashi, the Immortal Peace Project, and also be bringing in a wonderful gentleman named Jerry Bedlington. He's an angel healer. He brings in teams of angels, and we'll be doing prayers and sending lots of love and light to both Fukushima and to Syria. And I hope you can all join us with that program. We've got about 45 seconds left, Joe, and I want to give you the rest of the time to please wrap up your beautiful interview.
Okay, thanks, Ted. My suggestion to all the listeners out there, number one, remember who you are. You're not your money. You're not your fears. You're not your emotions. You're all of it and beyond. Recognize and meditate on a regular basis on who you really are. And I use this meditation myself, and by all means, you could use it. I realize I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. I will do the best that I can, and everything will work itself out as it always does.
Wonderful, Joe. Well, I'm sorry, my friend, we've run out of time. And, Joe, thank you so much for coming on today, my friend.
Thanks, Ted.
All right, you take care. Bye-bye. Please stay tuned for our next hour.